This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Genesis. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through Genesis chapters 15 through 18.
Now, it's possible that Abraham knew that he was getting from God some sort of sign, some sort of covenantal sign, that in some way God was going to distinguish him from other men so that everyone would know that Abraham and God had a special relationship. And I'm sure on the day of the big announcement, Abraham got excited about what that sign might be. I can imagine Big Daddy and Sarah discussing this at breakfast one morning. You know, maybe God will give you a crown to wear. That'll be a great sign. Or maybe he'll give you a ring. You know, like one of those big fat Super Bowl rings. Or honey, maybe he'll give you a medal that you can pin to your lapel and you can wear around and show off to everyone. What a surprise. When later in the day, Abraham puffs out his chest to receive his medal, and God says, nope. And then he sticks out his hand so that God will slide the ring on his finger, and God says, nope. And then he bows his head so he'll kind of get fitted with that, you know, glorious crown. And God says, nope. And then God says, Abe, you're going to have to pull down your pants, buddy. Can you imagine Abraham coming home that night and Sarah asking him, being excited, honey, what sign did God give you of the covenant? Sarah, you're not going to believe this, honey. You're in for a big surprise. And remember, Abraham is 99 years old. And yet God schedules him for surgery. He's going to get circumcised. Well, God continues his instructions. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. All God's kids will have to go under the knife, we're told, even Abraham. And remember, he is a whopping 99 years old. I mean, it's one thing for an eight-day-old baby to be circumcised, but a 99-year-old man? I went to the doctor last week, and this Wednesday they have scheduled me for surgery to repair a hernia. I'm not looking forward to it. And I've been told that it's going to take me about a week to get back on my feet. And I was thinking, if hernia surgery on a man who's in his physical prime, I mean, who's sort of the perfect physical specimen, if that's going to require a week to recover, can you imagine how long a 99-year-old man is going to take to recover from a circumcision? I mean, it would wipe him out. It would totally incapacitate him. And yet, what better sign for the term of the covenant that the Jews have just made with God? To be totally incapacitated, to be totally wiped out, to be totally helpless and inactive. For no one earned God's favor through what they do. You can't add to what God has already done. You are incapable of contributing anything to your righteousness. It is by God's grace and grace alone. All we can do is admit our weakness. Sort of like a circumcised 99-year-old man. Just admit your weakness and trust in God to do the work for you. Circumcision is the cutting away of the flesh, which is the key to spiritual victory for you and me. Don't walk in the flesh. Rather, rely on the Holy Spirit. Well, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. As with Abraham, God gives his wife a new name. She goes from being Sarah, or contentious, to being Sarah, which means princess. How's that for a transformation? From contentious to princess. Verse 16, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he said in his heart, shall a man be born, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And I wonder how many of us would have done the same. I mean, for Abraham, this is long before the days of Viagra. Sarah would be the only woman in history to pay for a labor and delivery with Medicare. Abraham knows that his wife is on the other side of menopause. There's no way that they can have a child together. There's got to be some misunderstanding. And so he reminds God, oh, that Ishmael might live forever. God, I've got a son. He's over there in Hagar's tent. But then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And the name Isaac means he laughed. And thus, every time thereafter, when Abraham mentioned his son's name, it would remind him of his lack of faith. He laughed. God continues in verse 19, I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Here is the key to Middle East politics today. The Abrahamic covenant, the sod, the seed, the salvation was passed on to Isaac and the Jews, not Ishmael and the Arabs. He says, I will establish my covenant with him, meaning Isaac, for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. He says, and as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. God is saying, let's get this straight. There's no confusion. Yes, I'll bless Ishmael, but the covenant that I've made with you, Abraham, belongs to Isaac, not Ishmael. And this is what the Arabs today refuse to concede. It is the source of the ongoing strife in Israel today. The Bible refers to God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jacob being the son of Isaac, while the Quran refers to the God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac. Islam teaches that the covenant God made with Abraham passed to Ishmael. The Bible says that it passed to Isaac. There, in a nutshell, is the cause of the Middle East conflict today. And if you believe in the Bible, you can't be neutral on this. You've got to side with Israel, because God gave the land to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day, as God had said to him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ouch. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael and all the men of his house born in the house are bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Abraham was obedient, and he circumcised the males in his family. Chapter 18 begins. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees of Mamre. as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Now remember, Abraham was a powerful man. He didn't just bow down to anyone. Notice verse 1 says, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Verse 2 says, there were three men standing by him. I believe that one of these visitors, one of these men, was actually God. Probably another pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. The other two men apparently were angels, incognito in the appearance of a man. This may be the incident, by the way, that Jesus refers to in John 8, verse 56 and 57. You remember when Jesus told the Pharisees, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? When did Jesus see Abraham? Perhaps it was right here. He visited him among the terebinth trees near Mamre. Well, in verse 3, Abraham said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. And so Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. This was the first example of a husband calling home at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and telling his wife that he's bringing home guests for dinner. This scene will be repeated countless times over the succeeding centuries. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Have you ever been to a restaurant when you waited so long that someone in the party made the comment, what'd they have to do, go out and kill the cow? Well, that's exactly what Abraham does here. He goes out and he kills the calf to feed to his guests. And husbands, do I have your attention? Husbands, notice something very important here. Abraham leaves the pre-incarnate Christ and two angels, no less, to go into the kitchen and help his wife prepare a meal. Isn't that amazing? Apparently, there are two ways to get to know Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, Mary leaves Martha in the kitchen and she worships at Jesus' feet. Abraham here, though, leaves Jesus to help Sarah in the kitchen. Mary got to know Jesus by spending time with him. Abraham got to know Jesus by being like him and serving his wife. Guys, you know both of those methods work. Well, in verse 8, so he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. And then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Now Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. I mean, she was 90 years old. Abraham was 100. She was past menopause. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now notice verse 12 says that she laughed within herself. It wasn't an out loud laugh. It wasn't an audible laugh. She just sort of chuckled to herself when she heard it. But apparently the Lord read her mind. And so he asked, why did Sarah laugh, saying, surely shall I bear a child since I am old? I'm sure he revealed her mind, her thoughts, to stir up her faith. He wanted her to think, oh, if God has the power to read my mind, then he's got the power to help an old woman conceive. Well, that's when the angel asked Sarah, is anything too hard for the Lord? And I think that's a question that God asks us tonight. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, most of us have very little problems with the doctrine of God's omnipotence on a theoretical, theological level. God can do anything. We agree with that. We believe in the existence of miracles until God personalizes a promise, until he monograms a miracle and puts your initials on it and says, this is the miracle I want to perform in your life for you right now, today. That's when we're tempted to laugh it off, to shrug. Oh yeah, God can work miracles, but in somebody else's life, back in Bible times maybe, but there's not really a miracle that can happen for me. Hey, it's interesting. We can sing all the right songs and quote all the right creeds and memorize the right verses and make the right statements of faith. But do we really believe? Do we really believe in God and in God's power? The Lord is challenging Sarah, and he's challenging us. Are we really believing, or are we just bluffing? Believing or bluffing? How real is your faith tonight? Back in America's pioneer days, a weary traveler came to the banks of the frozen, mighty Mississippi River. It was wintertime. The river was frozen solid. But the traveler, you know, he wanted to cross the river on foot. He wanted to cross the ice, but he wasn't really sure of how frozen it was. And he was scared that perhaps the frozen ice wouldn't be able to hold his weight. And so he dropped to his hands and his knees, and he started inching his way across the ice, listening for any kind of cracking or crumbling. Well, halfway across the sheet of ice, this timid trailblazer heard the sound of singing and laughing, and suddenly he turned and he saw a man driving a wagon full of coal. And this wagon just rumbled across the ice. The traveler had been afraid that the ice might crush under his weight, when in reality it was able to support a wagon load brimming full of heavy coal. Guys, all too often we creep through life on our hands and on our knees. Each move we make, we're worrying, we're fretting, we're living in a sweat, wondering if the ice is going to crack underneath us, when in reality, God is holding us up. We could be singing and laughing and enjoying the ride if we just had a little faith. Are you believing tonight, or are you bluffing? Let me ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, the Lord continues in verse 14. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. In other words, the Lord's saying, I don't share my secrets with strangers. I share my secrets with friends. And I've been a friend with Abraham. He knows me. I've revealed myself to him. God reveals his secrets to people who follow him. Those are the people that he can trust. And since Abraham is a friend of God, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come up to me, and if not, I will know. And then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. The Lord decides to let Abraham in on his plan, on what he's doing in the world at the time, and what was going on with Sodom. And so apparently these angels continued to Sodom while perhaps Jesus, this pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord, stayed there with Abraham. And Abraham came near and said, "Would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." Now Abraham was God's friend. He knew God's heart. And it was not God's nature to judge the righteous with the wicked. The righteous always come out before the judgment comes down. This is one reason why I believe that the rapture will occur before the great tribulation. In the last days, God will judge this wicked world with 7 years of cataclysmic, earth-rattling judgments. But before the judgments come down, guys, the church is going to go up. God doesn't judge the righteous with the wicked. He takes the righteous out before he judges the wicked. Verse 27, "Then Abraham answered and said, 'Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the lack of 5? And so he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." And so he said, "I will not do it for the sake of 40. You know, one of the fun days that we have whenever we visit Israel is the shopping day in the old city. The merchants there, they open the bazaars. And one of the fun things about the shopping day is that those merchants love to haggle. Middle Eastern merchants love to haggle. I think haggling is particularly a Jewish trait. It came from Abraham. Jewish people love to haggle, and apparently they get it from Abraham. It's amazing. Here, Abraham is haggling with God. "How about 50, God?" "Well, okay. Well, what about 45? Well, what about 40? He's trying to see how far down he can get God to go. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 shall be found there." So he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 shall be found there." So he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And it makes you wonder how far God would have really gone if Abraham had kept pushing the issue. It's amazing. Abraham, he's here haggling with God, but Abraham haggles with God over big stakes. The survival of the city of Sodom hangs in the balance. You know, apparently there are some similarities between haggling and the form of prayer we call interceding. In essence, Abraham prays and intercedes for Sodom, but he does so in typical Middle Eastern haggle fashion. My point is that prayer may be a whole lot less sophisticated than we make it sometimes. Prayer may just be haggling with God, getting down to business with God, speaking your heart to God. Tonight, if you've got a problem, if you want to get down to business with God, why don't you go home and try some holy haggling?
Listening to Bible teaching here on the radio is a huge blessing that many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world simply don't have. We rejoice in this opportunity to share Pastor Sandy's messages with you. We do want to be sure to remind you that radio is not a church. Radio should be a complement to what God is already doing in your personal discipleship through the local body of believers that you're a part of. Maybe you're listening today. You don't have a home church. You've visited various places, but nothing seems to fit. First, if you live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, we want to personally invite you to join us for worship at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. For more information, including driving directions, please log on to sandyadams.org and follow the link to the church website. Now, if you're listening outside of the Atlanta, Georgia area and are looking for a home church, we encourage you to log on to calvarychapel.com and find a Calvary Chapel in your area that teaches through the Bible just like Pastor Sandy does each day here on this program. Well, we wish we had more time today, but we've come to the close of today's broadcast. Be sure to remember to join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through God's Word. That's next time on Sandy Adams Radio.